take your Bibles with me. Turn. I promise I won't be long tonight. I wanted to share with you what God has laid on my heart. You know, I mentioned I won't be long. Reminds me of a story of Bible college. And they had these preacher boys, Brother Adam. They had these preacher boys in, and they got done with all of their sermon writing and all of their essays and everything, and they were about to graduate and go off and become preacher boys or pastors somewhere in the world. And the last thing they had to do was preach a message in front of their peers. And so they all had to preach, and the professor of the class in the Bible college went up to one, his name was Tommy, and he said, "Tommy," he said, "I need to know, you're scheduled to preach tomorrow morning in front of the class. What is the title of your sermon for tomorrow?" He said, "Well, sir, the title of my sermon is Paul's Powerful Preaching on the Practical Process of Providential Predestination." And the professor said, "Tommy, you're not preaching tomorrow. You just sit down." Well, he felt really bad afterwards, and he felt really bad. He thought he was kind of hard on Tommy. And so he said, "Tommy, come here." He said, "Tommy," he said, "you can't have a title of your sermon entitled Paul's Powerful Preaching on the Practical Process of Providential Predestination. The title alone is going to scare the people off. They're going to think that if your title is that long, your sermon is going to be that much longer." He says, No. You got to shorten it up. You got to shorten it up. Do you understand what I'm talking about, Tommy?" And Tommy looks at him and says, "No, sir, I don't." He says, "Okay, Tommy." He says, "Okay. Let's say you graduate from Bible college this semester and you take on a church that's right off of I-75. The title and the church that you're pastoring has a huge marquee that the people traveling down I-75 can read from the expressway. The title of your messages each Sunday should be so riveting, so compelling, so straight to the heart that if a busload of high school kids were traveling down I-75 and they saw the title of your message, it would make them want to veer off I-75, come down the expressway, run through the stop sign, go right into the parking lot of the church, slam on the brakes, open the door, all the kids run out, open the front door of the church, and they all gather together in the back of the church. That's the title you should have, the type of title you should have for your sermon. Do you know what I'm talking about, Tommy?" Tommy says, "Yes, sir, I do." So Tommy goes home and he writes up his sermon for tomorrow, the next day. And he comes up, the next day arrives, and the professor says, "Okay, it's Tommy's turn to preach. Tommy, come on up and preach to your classmates." So Tommy gets up there, turns around and says, "Open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. The title of my message is, There's a Bomb on Your Bus." "Well, that's not the title of my message. But the title of my message is, I'm a blessed man." Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 1. I won't be long tonight, but I believe this has everything to do with revival. Everything to do with revival. You know, we talked about this morning, if Christianity was a crime, would they have enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? And some of the evidences is brotherly love and hospitality and helping those in prison and purity in marriage and remembering your pastors and leaders and following Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. But then there was one that I touched on that people watch, it's a key evidence of our faith, and it's being content. It's being content. And I want to kind of piggyback off of that evidence that we touched on this morning, tonight. I'm a blessed man. If you've got your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 1, where you stand with me, and we are going to read the entire first chapter. But don't let me scare you, it's only 6 verses long. Read with me aloud, will you? Ready? "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we need revival. I need revival. And Lord, we just pray now, Lord, that you would bless the remaining time we have together tonight. Speak to each and every heart that's in the building tonight. And empower me from on high. I can't do it without your Holy Spirit empowerment, Lord. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. For it's in your precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm a blessed man. I was saved August 4th of 1986 at the age of 30. When I got saved, I got saved. When I got saved, so did my horns. And I think of what God has blessed me with these 55 years, coming out of Catholicism, getting into a good church, being able to use my talents that God has given me. And I think of my beautiful wife, which I'm hoping you can meet real soon here. She might be coming with me tomorrow night here. Her name is Joy. And the three beautiful children that God has blessed us with. And the two wonderful, awesome grandsons, Madden, who's 4 years old, and Jack, who's two, Jackson, and the ministry God has given me, and the opportunities that he's allowed me to have, you are looking at a blessed man. I'm blessed. And I thank God today that I was gloriously saved on August 4th of 1986. Now, I've learned something about being saved and walking with the Lord. Have I tripped and stumbled? Yeah, we all have. But our God is still a God of forgiveness. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. A God of second chances. And I've learned a few things about being saved and walking with the Lord. Now, this psalm, the entire chapter of Psalm 1, 1 through 6, is a psalm of contrast. It contrasts the sinner and the saved. Now, we as human beings tend to categorize people in various categories and different columns. You know, this person's cultured. This person's ignorant. This person is rich. This person is poor. But God doesn't look at all these different categories. God looks at whether you're one of two things. You're either saved or you're lost. He doesn't measure us by the blue book of membership or the bank book of finances. God doesn't look. He looks on the inside. We tend to look on the outside, but God looks on the inside. And so I've learned a few things about being saved and living a blessed life. The Dennis Guazzella you're looking at tonight is a blessed man. Now, I'm not a gambler. I'm not a betting man, but I would hazard to guess that most of us here tonight would like to live a blessed life. Amen? And I believe living a blessed life helps us with revival. It makes us want to turn from whatever we're doing and want to follow God, want to do whatever we need to do to be blessed by God. Do you want to be blessed by God tonight?
Amen.
Amen. And I believe Psalms chapter 1 shows us four simple points of living a blessed life. Number one, how do you measure a blessed man, a blessed woman tonight? You measure a blessed man, a blessed woman by their faithfulness to the word of God. Look with me at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate periodically. Is that what it says? No. In his law doth he meditate every so often? No. It says in his law, or the Bible, this is our rule book, our law book right here, doth he meditate day and night. One thing that a blessed man or woman will do is delight himself in the word of God. If you don't spend time in the word of God, it's going to be pretty hard to live a blessed life. it's going to be pretty hard. I have found in my 20-some years of being saved that I can't go a day without this book. I love God's Word. I love the Bible. I remember when I first got saved. I got saved before my wife Joy did. And so I remember Bob Strunk, who I mentioned this morning, he took me to, it used to be called Zondervan's Family Bookstore. Now it's Family Bookstores, but back then the Zondervan Company out of Grand Rapids still owned that book chain. Y'all remember Zondervan's? And so he took me to Zondervan's. And I remember I used to admire Charles Stanley. I still admire Charles Stanley. But Charles Stanley used to preach out of a Ryrie study Bible. And so I said, Bob, I want a Bible. What kind of Bible should I get? He said, well, you mentioned you like watching Charles Stanley. Yeah, yeah. Well, get yourself a King James Ryrie study Bible. And so I went, he took me to Zondervan's, and I have the King James Ryrie study Bible. I have it at home today. But I remember sitting in my dining room. I could take you and show you in the dining room I was at, and at the very place I was sitting, and I was reading my Bible, and Joy was watching TV or something, and I started laughing. Oh, man. And she looked at me, and she said, what's so funny? I said, I can't believe I'm reading the Bible. No, I wasn't making fun of the Bible. What I was making fun of was, if you would have told me 2 weeks before that I'm going to want to read the Bible, I would have said, brother, give me a hit of whatever you're smoking, because there's no way I'm never going to read the Bible. I would have said, give me a drink, whatever you're drinking. You're crazy if you think I'm going to want to read the Bible. But here I am wanting to read the Bible. And I just couldn't believe, like, wow, God is powerful. He can really change people. I couldn't believe I was wanting to read the Bible. So if you want to live a blessed life, number one, you need to be faithful to the Word of God. Amen? Amen. You need to be faithful day and night reading God's instruction manual for our life. Number two, a blessed man, a blessed woman tonight, if you want to experience revival, if you want to have that blessed life, number two is measured. You're measured by your friends and people who you hang with. Look with me at verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Notice that the author is talking about the progression of sin. Do you notice how we progress? And the analogy I like to use is, let's use an adult bookstore. And you all know what I'm talking about. As a matter of fact, I get sick and tired of driving North I-75 going home in all my travels. Because you probably know what I'm talking about. There's a billboard there that I wish somebody would take down. Yeah. But anyway, let's use the adult bookstore. And first, you walketh. Instead of walking across the street as far away from the place as you possibly can, you walk near it. And first, you walk. Then look with me at the progression. Then you stand. And maybe you admire the huge photographs or the posters they have in their the large windows, storefront windows. And then, what's the progression? You sit. When no one's looking, you open the door and you sit. And don't ever say, that would never happen to me. Never's a long time. It can happen to anybody, Christians and non-Christians alike. And so we need to know, we need to realize that fact, that there's a devil out there and the progression of sin that we're capable of taking. There's an old gospel song called Sin Will Take You Farther Than You Want to Go. Slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. It seemed like a good idea at the time. I jokingly tell people I'm going to write a book about my life story. And every chapter is going to be every blunder I've ever made in my life. And the name of the book is going to be titled, It Seemed Like a Good Idea at the Time. But You see, if you want to live a blessed life tonight, if you want to be a blessed man, you want to be a blessed woman, you're measured by your friends, not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, you need to have godly counsel. My mama, us kids were being raised, my mom always told us, you are who you hang with. Kids, listen to me. You are who you hang with. It's important to center yourself around godly friends. And I'm happy to say I'm blessed because I've got like three or four pastor friends that I could call at any hour of the morning or night. If I ever did anything if I really blew it, I could call them and they wouldn't judge me. They wouldn't persecute me. They wouldn't toast me and roast me. But they would tell me exactly, they would give me godly counsel and tell me exactly what I need to do. They wouldn't judge me. They wouldn't stab me in the back. They have my back. And it's important for each and every one of us to have those types of friends. Amen? Amen. It's important to have those types of friends. Godly counsel. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, a companion of fools will be destroyed. And so, number one, a blessed man, a blessed woman tonight is measured by their faithfulness to the Word of God. Number two, a blessed man, a blessed woman tonight is measured by their friends. Number three, look with me at verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit. A blessed man, a blessed woman is measured by their fruit. Now, what fruit, you may ask? Well, Galatians 5:22 tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You know what I found? A blessed man, a blessed woman wants to abound in love, wants to abound in all the different various fruits of the Spirit. Here's what I found in my life, Brother Darrell, that I have yet to meet a senior citizen living for the devil who's happy. Now think about what I just said. I have yet to meet an older member of society living for the devil who's happy. Now I could show you some teenagers that appear happy that might be living for the devil. They're really not happy, but they appear, they think they are. But you cannot show me one senior citizen who's been living for the devil that's happy. However, I can show you a senior saint whose skin may have withered, their hair may have grayed, but they've got the peace of God, the peace that passes all understanding all over them. Amen. Amen. Because they are blessed by the fruit of the Spirit. I've seen many a saint who's lived for the Lord all their life and was like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I've seen many a man whose skin may have withered, but his joy didn't. Praise God. I want to challenge you tonight. If you want to experience revival, number one, be faithful to the Word of God. Be faithful. And if you're here tonight and you may have been putting off the Bible, you may not have been reading it like you ought to, you can start tonight. You can start experiencing revival tonight by starting reading the Word of God first thing tomorrow morning. As soon as you get that cup of coffee, give me a call up and we'll read it together. What's my number? BR4549. What? No, no. 738, junior samples. But anyway, number one, be faithful to the Word of God. Number two, if you want to experience revival, you may have been hanging around the wrong crowd. Be faithful. And number two, have the right kind of friends. I feel good about those two. I feel pretty good about the fruit that God has given me. But number four, I feel real good about my future. My future. I feel good about being faithful to my Bible reading. I feel good about my friends that God has given me with and blessed me with. I feel real good about the fruit of the Spirit. But I thank God, church, for my future. Amen. For my future. Look with me at verses 4 through 6. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There is a plan for the future of the blessed man. God knows it. God's planned it. He's prepared a place for us, and that place is a place that we can't even comprehend, church. What a future for the blessed man, the blessed woman tonight. Amen. I've been blessed over here so much, but I'm going to be blessed even more over there. Amen? Amen. I think about what God has blessed me with, a trophy, a beautiful looking wife. When you see her picture, when you see her, I mean, I traded up. I traded three first round draft choices for her. I don't know what she thought I had money back 32 years ago or something. I don't know. But God's blessed me with three children and two wonderful grandchildren and this ministry he's blessed me with. But I'm going to be more blessed over there. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I played a song this morning in Sunday school. And it goes something like this. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, that was my cell phone. And by faith, we can see it afar. For our Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Then how does the rest of the song go? In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. I'm a blessed man. Are you? Are you blessed tonight? What's the opposite of a blessed man? It says the ungodly man. It says, if you do not know the Lord, you're ungodly. Well, Brother Dennis, you offend me. I am not ungodly. Look, I'm a product of the 70s. Do y'all remember like when 7-Up, the Uncola commercial? Yeah. Remember that? Remember the Uncola? They had this man in a white suit and a white hat, and he would say, 7-Up, the Uncola. Do y'all remember that? I mean, why did they call it the Uncola? Because 7-Up does not have cola in it. So it's an Uncola. Well, if you are saved tonight, you have the Holy Spirit indwelt in you. So you are considered godly. If you're not saved tonight, and therefore you do not have God in you, you are ungodly. I'm not saying you're living a wicked life or anything. I'm just saying that the Bible calls you ungodly. And the Bible says that you fall into one of two categories, saved or lost, a sinner or a saint, or as some people call it, called either a saint or an ain't. But it says the ungodly, those without Christ, shall perish. See, we here as Christians tonight, we're on our way to heaven. This world, this is the worst that it gets. For us, it's only going to get better. But if you're here tonight and you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, this world, this is the best it gets. It's only going to get worse for you after this. But I bring you good news tonight. If you're here tonight and you are not saved, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, it's not a coincidence you're here. God knew you were going to be here tonight. And He wants you to settle it once and for all. You can be saved tonight. I'm going to change things up a little bit. If you're not saved tonight, if you would like to trust Christ as your Savior, I'm not going to have anyone walk an aisle tonight if to trust Christ. If you're not saved tonight, but you would like to have heaven be your home, it's four simple points. Number one, the Bible says we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, it says that there's a price we're going to have to pay because of, we're sinners. We're all sinners here. And the price is this, total separation from God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And not just physical death. I'm looking around the church tonight, and with all due respect to each and every one of you here, if the Lord Jesus tarries for another 100 years, none of us are getting out of here alive. None of us. We're all going to physically die within the next 100 years. No matter how young you are, 100 years from now, we're all going to be dead physically. But not just physical death, but spiritual separation from God and heaven forever in a lake of fire called hell. Because you see, God is a sinless God. God is a holy God. God will not allow one sin into heaven. So therein lies the problem. We all want to go to heaven, but none of us are good enough to get there. But I bring you good news. The Bible does say, for the wages of sin is death. But, it goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you hear it? It's a gift. It's free. My grandson Madden's birthday, he turned 4 years old on October 23rd, just a week ago or so. And I bought him a birthday present. And I got in a lot of trouble. I'm Papa. And Joy, her name is Boo Boo. And so Boo Boo was really unhappy with Papa. But I went up to him and I said, hey, Madden, Papa's got a gift for you. Happy birthday. Here you go. Happy birthday. And that gift did not cost Madden a dime. Now, it cost Papa a few dollars, but it cost Madden zilch. And that's like salvation. That's our salvation is free to us. Now, it cost Jesus his life and his blood, his sinless, perfect blood. But to us, it's free. But fourthly and finally, there is something we have to do. There is a catch, and it's this. We have to receive that gift by faith. We have to take that gift by faith. Just like Madden took that gift, he said, thank you, Papa, and he took it and he received it. We have to do the same thing. And if you're not saved tonight, you can be. You can be saved in the very seat you're sitting in tonight by simply trusting in Christ and asking him, receiving him by faith into your heart. Let's bow our heads, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around.